Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So let me set the scene. It's the 1969 movie Midnight Cowboy. Young Texan Joe Buck, played by John Voight, has just arrived in New York City and is walking down the street with third-rate con man Enrico Ratzo Rizzo, played by Dustin Hoffman. You know the scene? Ratzo is giving Joe advice on how to make a cheap buck in New York City as they enter a crowded Times Square intersection. Okay, roll the projector.
They gotta have some kind of middleman. And that's where old Daniel comes in, you know what I mean?
Hey, I'm walking here! I'm walking here! Up yours! You don't talk me that way! Get out of here!
About that. Actually, that ain't a bad way to pick up insurance, you know.
Dustin Hoffman pounding on the hood of a yellow cab while yelling, "I'm walking here." It's one of the most famous movie scenes depicting New York City street life, but as it turns out, it may have its facts wrong. Here's why. In that scene, Ratzo Rizzo was almost hit by a yellow cab, turning right into the intersection. Well, a new report issued by city transportation planners indicates that it is, in fact, not cabs that are the most dangerous cars in the city, and it is left turns that lead to far more accidents than right turns. So maybe a lot has changed about New York City's traffic patterns since Dustin Hoffman stood up to that cabbie, but it is also true that a lot of our assumptions about pedestrian safety may be wrong. With me now is Colin Campbell, WNYC senior reporter, one of the people behind our Transportation Nation blog. He was at the press conference yesterday with city transportation department officials and joins us to discuss some of the surprising findings. Hey, Colin, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Brian.
And listeners, we can take your pedestrian safety stories. If you have a particular incident to describe or an intersection that you want to flag as a major walker hazard, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. There are some policy announcements that came along with the results of this survey, and we'll get into them, and you can say what you think the city should do in addition, or wherever you live, what they should do in addition to help pedestrians survive crossing the street. 212-433-9692, or give us your own personal safe walking tips and tricks. All right, let's walk through some of the major findings of the survey, Colin. This report is getting a lot of press in the last day. There are lots of statistics being thrown out there. Let's start with gender. Male drivers are involved in 80% of crashes that kill or seriously injure pedestrians. However, males are only 57% of registered drivers in New York City. So it's more hazardous to cross the street when men are driving by?
That was one of the big, I think, sort of fun parts of the survey, or maybe one of the big shockers.
And you use the word fun loosely.
Sure, as a man, I can, you know, it's one of those lessons of when we get behind the wheel, how we behave. I will say that on the other side, men are also much more likely to get hit. In fact, boys are most likely to get hit than almost anybody else. So men are kind of on both sides of this. Maybe the bigger risk takers, certainly the people involved in these collisions a lot more. It also accounts, really interestingly, for the economic hit on the city. Pedestrians being hit alone in this data that the city DOT looked at cost the city about $1.3 billion every year. That's what the city DOT had come up with. In part, that's because men, for now, earn more than women. So as they're hit, there's more lost earning potential. There's more...
The lawsuit awards are higher.
That's well, sure. Exactly. The loss to the economy is bigger.
All right. Cabs versus private vehicles. Private vehicles, not taxis or trucks or buses. Regular cars are involved in 79% of crashes that kill or seriously injure pedestrians. Here's a clip of a cab driver who you spoke with yesterday about this.
You know, we are a very careful driver, and we don't want any accidents, so we don't want to lose our license. So we are very responsible driver, you know.
Yeah, this is Khalid Mahmoud. I went around, talked to a bunch of yellow cabs yesterday with the report in my hand, saying to them, hey, this is like an exoneration for you guys, perhaps a vindication. How do you feel about it? A lot of them took it as conventional wisdom, as stuff that they already knew to be true, that they're the safest drivers. They often look at other cabs as being pretty safe. And, of course, that's tied pretty logically to the incentives they have to keep their license, to keep driving. If we were to build, going back to the kind of 70s movie theme here, if we were to build a profile of the offender here, of who's most likely to hit a pedestrian, it is an interesting profile. It's most likely to be a man in his 40s, most likely to be driving his own car, as you said, most likely to be making a left turn. Those left turns, you hit people three times more than you do on a right turn. It's most likely to be in November or December as the days get shorter. Huh. Maybe the pedestrian crowds, the shoppers get a little bit bigger.
In the twilight hours?
In the twilight hours, between 3 and 6 p.m., in fact. The big window that DOT put out is 3 to 9 p.m., and that's actually very different than other places in America. Usually in America, after in other big cities, you're usually more likely to be hit after 8 p.m. or overnight. The pedestrian fatalities and serious injuries are more likely after those hours. So New York being denser, more people on the streets, evening hours like that, that's the profile of when you're most likely to be hit as a pedestrian.
Again, unlike Ratso Rizzo, who almost got hit in midday. The stats, though, around taxis in particular can be confusing. Around 16% of fatalities are due to taxis, and they only account for 2% of vehicles registered in the city. So that makes it sound like taxis are disproportionately dangerous. But then you have to keep in mind that at some times of day, taxis can make up nearly half of Manhattan's traffic. So how do you put those together for a statistical bottom line about taxis and pedestrian safety?
You know, I think it goes back again to basically just driving to who's really looking out and used to the pressures of city driving and who's not, especially in Manhattan. Most pedestrians are hit on big, wide boulevards, things like Adam Clayton Powell, 125th Street, Broadway. These are the big, wide boulevards where people might chance a light. They might make a left turn without looking. You have to bet that taxis that are used to the chaos of Manhattan may be just a little more used to this. It's certainly an art to driving in Manhattan. It's certainly an art to driving a cab. And the data just backs that up, just plainly.
Not that these stats are going to do anything for Yulia in Williamsburg. Yulia, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to share my story. And it was actually November. 2 years ago, I had a car service run over my foot in Williamsburg and break it. And I was really lucky that it wasn't much, much worse, because he was making a left turn and he was going really fast and I didn't even have a chance. And I want to flag out on Metropolitan Avenue, especially with all the new people moving in into the neighborhood. It's basically a freeway. And there should be more regulations. We have trucks on it, we have cabs, and we have pedestrians, and it's a really, really bad recipe.
Yulia, how did it happen? Was the driver kind of cutting a corner too close to the curb, or how did it happen?
I was actually all the way in the middle of the intersection, and what happened, he was making a turn going 40 miles an hour. So he was cutting a red light, and what happens is they, on the street that I live, Leonard, they shoot off the BQE, so they try to beat all the lights, and they go to their calls, and they just speed.
Did you say whether it was a right turn or a left turn?
I'm just really lucky to be here to tell the story.
I'm glad you told the story, and let that be a cautionary tale. Michael in Queens wants to defend the Y chromosome among us. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What you got?
Well, there's no indication as to what percentage of miles driven are driven by males. So if the males drive more than 80% of the miles, which if cabbies are 60% of the drivers and they drive all day long, there's a good chance that 90% of the miles driven are driven by males, and therefore you're twice as likely to be killed by a female.
Well, it's a legitimate question to raise. The stat we gave before from the city is that male drivers are involved in 80% of crashes that kill or seriously injure pedestrians, while they are only 57% of registered drivers. It's true. It doesn't answer the question of miles driven, percentage of miles driven, or percentage of hours spent behind the wheel of the car, or percentage of drivers on the road at any given time. I don't think it would be 80% male, but he raises a legitimate statistical point.
Yeah,
uncertainty.
This is one of the interesting things as we're looking in very broad terms at the future of transportation funding and things like that. We're looking at devices that would track the number of miles driven in a car by a driver as a way to extend the gas tax or replace the gas tax and things like this, but we don't know miles driven in this study. You have to bet that if 57% of registered drivers in the city are men, that there's a good chunk of this are women. And this data, again, the highest, just a reminder, this data is 7,000 crash reports in all five boroughs between 2002 and 2006. And the borough that actually comes up highest in that period that the DOT looked at is Brooklyn. for injuries and for deaths. So we're not just looking at Manhattan. We're not just looking at cabs here, which in part I think is some of the interesting sort of lining under this data. We're really looking at a lot of private drivers. You know, you can imagine places like Fourth Avenue in Brooklyn, people driving home, people driving back and forth. So I think the distribution of male to female is probably more regular than you might expect.
And does the city deserve props here for this stat? Pedestrian fatalities overall last year were down nearly 20% compared to 2001. So in the period that Mayor Bloomberg has been in office, pedestrian fatalities are down 20%.
Yeah, I think there's a much bigger political story here with the mayor, with Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadiq Khan, trying to lay this out as the new greener New York, with incentives to get out of your car to make walking the streets of New York safer. There's a lot of, you know, you can see the mayor advancing his agenda a little bit in this data as well. Part of what one of the things they looked at is whether there are fewer collisions between cars and pedestrians at crossings with very large bike lanes, like some of the things that are being put in on Prospect Park West, Prince Street in Manhattan, places like that. The DOT is claiming those are 40% less likely. You're 40% less likely to be hit if there's a bike lane at the crossing.
Bike lanes protect pedestrians.
In a sense,
is the argument.
Right.
Except from bike riders.
That's a very interesting question, especially with the Prospect Park West bike lane. But this is really an effort. And Christine Quinn, council speaker, laid that out yesterday as part of the council's agenda, that the council had asked for this data to be studied, had funded it. And, you know, this is an effort by all of City Hall to really say, this is the new New York, perhaps where cars are a little less welcome, certainly where pedestrians can be safer and safer and safer. This is happening under the mayor.
Or maybe bike lanes do make pedestrians safer from bicycles because everybody knows where the bikes are going to be instead of the chaos. I don't know if there's data on that. But here is Christine Quinn from yesterday's press conference, the city council speaker. And after you listen to this, tell me what she's actually saying.
You know, New York City is a city really in a lot of ways of and for pedestrians. And we need to make sure, particularly as we want to get people more and more out of their cars, that people feel as safe as they possibly can walking on the streets of New York City. And if people are afraid, particularly seniors, of being hit by a car, being hit by a bicycle, being hit by a bus, they're going to instead get into their cars.
That is actually stated administration policy. You referred to it a minute ago, to get people out of their cars.
Well, I think that's an undercurrent of this announcement, of this effort. One of the other policy announcements yesterday as part of this study coming out is the installation of countdown clocks at more intersections across all the five boroughs. There'll be a pilot program that will reduce city speed limits from 30 miles an hour to 20 miles an hour in certain neighborhoods in an effort to, again, slow people down, make things nicer for pedestrians, or make things safer for pedestrians. So we're looking at things that, if not disincentivize driving, at least encourage walking to the point that it may be something, as this council speaker said, you may choose walking over driving to some of your destination. So in a greener New York, in a New York that tries to underwrite different modes of transportation, cars are taking their place as something, you know, as a battle of equals here among other ways to get around.
John on the Upper West Side, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, I wanted to report in an intersection that's gotten very dangerous with a left-hand turn. When a couple of months ago they put in a left turn arrow at the intersection for eastbound traffic, and it has the effect of the people normally crossing the street not expecting this left-hand rush of traffic coming at them, and then the people making the left-hand turn, when they see that arrow turning yellow, they're making the turn not at the intersection. They're sort of scooting across the other lane and kind of coming at you from every direction.
That's interesting, because you would think that the arrows would, you know, more rationalize the traffic at an intersection.
You would. One of the other policy proposals that came out of this data is that the DOT is looking at actually taking parking spaces away around some left turns, about clearing intersections out, if you will, for pedestrians. So even if there's a left turn signal, even if there's a dedicated left turn lane, that you just open those intersections up that have systematically had collisions, had pedestrians injured or killed. You open them up to the point that everybody can see what everybody else is doing.
And I don't want to lose the one new policy announcement that actually came with these results, and that is the installation of many more of those kinds of walk, don't walk signs that actually count you down, right?
Yeah. So the city's been testing these out for about the last 4 years. It took a while to sort of sort out where they're useful and where they're not. And the city hall was very careful to sort of say, we've been looking at this for a long time. It's worth it now to spend the money on these. They're coming to about 1,500 new intersections over the next year. And where they're useful, the DOT has found out, is really at the big boulevards, who are also the biggest offenders here. The big, big boulevards, places like, again, Canal Street, 4th Avenue in Brooklyn, Adam Clayton Powell, all these different kinds of places, Park Avenue. These larger boulevards are where people are very often hit. They're hit at higher speeds. So these are places where you want pedestrians to have more information. So what we're getting are countdown clocks, things that tell you, hey, you've got 5 seconds across, don't start. It's a little bit more information than the orange hand. And video surveillance of these has shown that they clear intersections out more quickly.
All right. One new policy piece and a lot new data from the city of New York on being a pedestrian in the five boroughs. Colin Campbell from our Transportation Nation blog. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Abergan, Paige Cowett, and Alan Smith produced this program. We say goodbye today to summer intern Noah Litvin, who's going back to college to study more classics. We also had intern help today from Rafael Vera. And our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm Brian Lehrer.